You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. In 2001, Carolina de Robertis traveled to her family's country, Uruguay. She wanted to know about the nation's queer history. What she learned on the trip inspired her latest book, Cantoras. The story is about five lesbians from Uruguay living in a dictatorship in the 1970s and 80s. They must hide their sexuality for their own safety, but during the ups and downs of their lives and love, the women escape to a rustic beach that becomes their sanctuary. KALW's Janae Darden sat down with Carolina de Robertis.
What is it about historical fiction that appeals to you?
You know, I think I'm just really drawn to deepening my own understanding of my roots and, in general, on a societal level, our deepening understanding of our roots and how that shapes who we are. So We have a saying in South America, el que no sabe de dónde viene, no sabe de a dónde va. He or she who doesn't know where they come from doesn't know where they're going. And I think that's part of my interest in it is it's not just about writing history, but about writing our way towards a deeper understanding of where we are and who we want to become.
And I imagine, too, sometimes when you're writing history, you see so much similarities in the present.
Yes, absolutely. And I think those of us who write fiction that is set in other times are often operating with a double consciousness, where we're writing with a particularity of that time. So in the case of this novel, Cantoras, it's set beginning in the 1970s and mostly in the 70s and 80s in Uruguay and under a military dictatorship most of the time and then after. But I'm writing it today. I'm writing it here. I'm writing it in the Trump era, in fact. Right. I gathered the material for it for 18 years, but did the actual writing in this era. And there is that double consciousness of also at least swimming through the deeper themes in a manner that is resonant to me in the time we're living through and hopefully will be resonant to readers on that level, too.
Cantores. I just love what the title means, and I'm sure you can explain it more beautifully than I can.
Please explain. Thank you for saying that. You know, it's interesting because this is a title that came to the book at the end when I'd already finished writing
it.
It had many other working titles, and yet it feels so central to the book now. So cantores is a word that means singers, and of course it means female singers, which, you know, the English language can't do that, right? When we say singers, it could be any gender. Cantoras means female singers, and it's an old-fashioned word for singers that this group of women who I met when I went to Uruguay in 2001, seeking my own relationship with the country as a, you know, member of the diaspora, a young queer woman, and had been really rocky coming out to my parents, and I wanted my own relationship to my country of origin and to find traces of the invisible histories of queer people in my country of origin. I was like, they have to be somewhere, right? You know, and I found these women who came of age, you know, a generation before me during the dictatorship, and I learned from them that they had used the word cantoras as code for lesbian, you know, in this time where they had to be incredibly under the radar to stay safe and alive. Right. They would say, you know, do you think she's a cantora? You know, does she sing? You know, wink, wink. You know, and so it has all of this innuendo built into it. And to me, that word, you know, it has, of course, this suggestive layer, but it also has a layer about what does it mean to be a woman who actually claims your voice, who sings, who fills the air with sound on your own terms.
So you traveled to Uruguay and you found women who lived through this dictatorship and they had to hide. What were they like?
I mean, you know, really incredible and really down-to-earth people. So the first person I met was Gabi, and I went to Uruguay on this trip. I was in my mid-20s, and I was, you know, feeling really vulnerable because my parents were in the process of cutting off ties with me. Yeah, you know, and that's been a permanent thing. In the process, one of the things they said to me was, you are no longer Uruguayan because you're gay, and this is something that doesn't exist in our country of origin, which can sound pretty absurd, but it is something that's actually very common in immigrant communities. And I've had this conversation with immigrants from lots of different cultures where, you know, sometimes sometimes the parents look at their own country through, like, nostalgia, or they remember the country from 30 years ago, the one that they left, where maybe those voices actually were completely invisible. And I wanted to not have to choose between my queerness and my Latinidad and my connection to Uruguay. So I go to Uruguay, and I have in my suitcase this piece of paper with the phone number of a woman who is the aunt of someone I met here in the Bay Area, Natalia Bernal. And she says, you know, well, I have this aunt. She's a lesbian. Oh, really? She's a lesbian. Here's your phone number. So I call this woman with shaking hands. Mm-hmm. And she tells me that she'd love to meet up, but she's leaving for the beach tomorrow. And I say, oh, too bad, you know. And then she says, well, would you like to come? And looking back, I'm just amazed at her trust and openness. So this gets at your question of what were they like? So generous and open. I didn't tell her, my niece told me you're gay. I didn't say I'm gay. Mm-hmm. I didn't say any of that. I just said, I met your niece and I'm here in Montevideo. And next thing I know, the following night, you know, we are driving up the coast and we're going to this rustic beach with no running water mm-hmm. and no electricity. And I am just stunned by their generosity, how they took me in this way. And then I met their friends over the course of these days.
And were these all queer women?
Yes, they were all queer women. They were all queer women. So this little far-flung beach, Cabo Polonio, which is near the border of Brazil, has become a real haven for bohemian types, hippie types, and for queer people. You know, so I had this experience of spending time with them. And at first they were very reserved, but when they found out that they could come out to me, the stories just started flowing, you know, deep into the night under the starlight. And it was life-changing for me.
So this seaside town, this beach is a real place.
The beach is a real place.
Do you see love and being your true self as an act of resistance? And I know that's been talked about a lot lately, especially right now what's going on in the climate, especially here in the United States. But is it too much pressure to even put that on yourself? Can I just be me? Does it have to be politicized?
I think that's a fantastic question for us all to be asking ourselves. I mean, I think it depends on your position in society. Mm-hmm. For some people, just being themselves is not an act of resistance. It doesn't necessarily go against the grain of who this society is designed for. But for many of us, it already is an act of resistance. And that doesn't mean that we have to be consciously political with every moment. But I do think that loving authentically is revolutionary for many of us. And affirming the right of all people to love deeply and authentically is revolutionary for many of us. I mean, I'm very conscious that my wife and I could not have legally married on two levels in this country a generation ago, as an interracial couple and as a, you know, queer couple, as a same-sex couple. And when we first got married in 2002, it was an act of civil disobedience. It wasn't legal anywhere in the country. And that's part of why this book, not too many spoilers, but it ends in 2013 with the legalization of gay marriage in Uruguay. So these women watch that sweep of change. And I think about it raising my kids. I mean, just loving and affirming my kids with everything they are as beautiful multiracial kids with two moms matters. It does ripple out to social impact. I think whether or not we frame it that way every day, living bravely on the margins is not separate from social change. This is a story that begins in the bleakest of times, right? During this brutal and terrifying dictatorship in Uruguay, but it takes us through to another time of possibility and renewal.
That was author Carolina de Robertis speaking with KALW's Janae Darden. You can meet the author on Wednesday, November 13th at the San Francisco Public Library's main branch. Find more information at KALW.org.